to walk to the sofa. And I was going through this turmoil in my head. I was absolutely paralyzed, and my feet were dragging. I couldn't even walk. It was horrible. And when I got to the sofa, I fell down. And fortunately, I had some ability to hear. And when he started talking, in his unconscious state, I was listening. And he said, "I'm not dead, I'm not unconscious, I'm just, they don't know I'm alive here." This boy talking in his unconscious state. He said, "I see them, they don't see me." Then he said a lot of things like that. And I don't know why, I really thought I was listening to the boy. So I thought I'd get on the phone and tell his mother he's not dead. And I started to do that. Then I thought, no, she thinks something's wrong. I think I better wait. So I waited 5 or 6 days. And then I dropped her a letter and told her what I had heard. Well, that was what happened. He really had been speaking in his stupor, in his unconscious state. And I got a call on New Year's Eve. It was 25 to 7. Even though it's long ago, I ran up the steps and I remembered the time because I was just going out. And she was crying. She said, he's well. And then she said, but he's something, it was something else was wrong. And I said, well, don't worry about it. That'll be taken care of. I don't know why I was so confident, but I don't know why. I just was that confident. And so that was taken care of too, whatever it was. And that's what happened to the boy. And it turned out that later, for some reason, he came to me for healing of some little nonsense that he had. And he said, "You know, my mother's gung-ho on these healers. Do you know anything like that?" I just listened to him. That was a funny situation. And you know, 16 months after that, I got a report that the same boy had been fallen with epilepsy. And for some reason, I said to the woman who called me, "I don't know why." I said, "In 6 days, he'll be over it." And he was. Instinct was just talking, that's all. But that was my first major case. And everybody started calling me. I had 20 cases from that one case. And one of them was seven boys who were communists. The case of the seven in Chicago, I think it was. Way back when Jane Fonda's husband was one of them. And there were six more. And they were all on trial for, I don't know, they had a lot of firecrackers they were shooting off with, you know, bombs. And they were in jail. And the one woman who heard about me handling this other case lived right near the woman, so she called. She says, "My son is one of the seven." So I had to work on him. And I don't know why it just happened this way, but there were two who were off on the seven, and he was one of them. And he became a playground supervisor. I can't imagine how these things work, but he didn't like to give up his bombs. It was good chemistry. Anyway, that got me interested in healing, because I found that if a fellow can do that with knowing nothing, if I knew something, I'd be sure to learn what to do. I was serious, too. So what I learned was what Joel taught about healing. And I studied it real hard, and He was a superb healer. We never thought any of us would even approximate what he did. Maybe we haven't. But the point is that he taught us, and we learned from Joe what he wanted and what was necessary and what was wrong, what was right. And I suppose there's been over 1,000 cases since then. And so everyone who says, I'm going to be a healer, I know what he's going to go through or what she's going to go through. And those who have done it and have come up with flying colors, it's wonderful to know that people can sit down without without any anesthetic, without any physical assistance, and do something in their consciousness that can begin to inch this person back to life, or to mobility, or to no pain, just by knowing truth. Not repeating you're better, you're better, you're better, but by knowing the absolute truth. Yet we have such people. Fellows going to Maui is one of them. Tyrus Gruber in Portland is one of them. There are others. These people work hard. They work hard, very hard. They give up a lot. And all they get out of it is somebody telling them, I'm sick or I'm dying. And they love that. The sicker you are, it's wonderful to be able to get you well again. The method is going to be the first, the awareness that no matter how hard you work or how easy it work, no matter what you do, never forget that this person can never be any worse off than he thinks, as he thinks he is. If you could just see his invisible spiritual body as the same as the practitioner's. The one working on the case has the same spiritual body as the one who's ill. We haven't known this all the time. We've gone flying by ear without the knowledge. Sometimes it gets a little eerie. I've had an elderly woman. She was in part of the country and she didn't live there, and she was going to die and she knew it. She said, I don't want to die till I get home. She said, I'm not going to die until I get home. And there was a lot of talk, some talk that was not coherent, but some talk that was in the spirit that I could hear. And I followed her across the country. She got home and died. Just the way she said. She was an elderly woman. I don't know if she's here now, but she's somewhere. Cases are very, very strange. Things from please grow hair on my head to will you restore my virility, and you know, stuff like that. But the most important is when the patient has a real problem, and especially when the patient is a child. It's good to have this ability because you get a lot of joy in restoring the people to their normal self. Here's another case I've selected. This is about a cripple. Discuss a different case. I don't find that. I'm sorry. What was this case when Jesus worked on a man who was a cripple? And this man, the only way he knew to get well was to walk out when the water rose up and go in the well. Supposed to have healing waters, like they have in Calistoga or somewhere like that. But he was lame, and so every time he got to the well to immerse himself, he found that others had got in before him, and he couldn't get anywhere. And he knew he had to get in that well. But when Jesus came along, looked at this man, and he had been crippled for a long time, something like 39 years. And Jesus said something to the effect of, "Can I help you?" Well, the man says, "I go out there to get into the water, the healing water, and when I get there, it's not there anymore. I'm crippled. I can't get there fast enough." Jesus, by this time, had sized up what was happening. The man thought he had his hypnosis about what he had to do. And even though he'd been lame for 39 years, Jesus had looked at him, knew the truth of him. The spiritual body was perfect. That's what I'm impressing you with. The spiritual body was perfect. And the man walked. Now there's an interesting case there, because all of these cripples were seated where there were the five was emphasized, sort of a cave with five sides to it. What they're telling you is that the man had five senses, and that everyone who's crippled thinks he's crippled because of his five senses. And that's the hypnosis. My sense of motion. I see an accident, that's my sense of sight. so forth. Always the five senses. He takes the man out of his five senses. There's a new thing. Maybe he touches him or looks at him. Nothing ostensibly invisible, and yet man walks. All his hearings were like this. Didn't matter what it was, what it appeared to be. Should I continue, or would you rather rest? This is a throat problem. Why don't we all do it together? And you've got to be exposed to the healing for your own good, I think. And I think if we all concentrate on the basic principle, we can help this woman. And we can see it right in front of us. We don't even have to know who she is. But she's got a heavy throat. And I'd like to see us take it off. Right off her hands. By finding our spiritual selfhood first. And let's try it. Maybe a little difficult. Trying now to find our spiritual selfhood, and as we make our progress, we're going to feel something inside ourselves. You learn how to dismiss thought immediately. About this woman's throat? Absolutely nothing. What you have to know is that she is spirit and I am spirit. Now, just saying it is not being it. So for days and days you'll be practicing being the Spirit of God. Silence while something deepens inside you, eventually you will change consciousness. Some people can do this quickly. fortunate if you arrive at a spiritual reality quickly. But if you don't, you maintain this no thought until you find something growing inside. It comes from a different level than the mind. Your soul. Coming moment when you know something has happened to you. You won't be exactly in a human mind. If you're in the right place, you can't think at all. At this point, some people have a tendency to find they are breathing quite heavily. That's good. Not thinking of a person, you're concentrating on this silence, this depth of silence. There's something that's growing inside your consciousness. stay in it until we feel that something has happened. I don't know how you feel it. It just, it's as if something rises in you and has a tendency to say it's finished without talking. You know something is turned over. And so you would stop, and the woman would say, I feel better or I don't. We would do this for maybe 20 minutes or a half hour. It's hard work, and it's not much glory. It's just hard work. But you're doing it for someone who appreciates it. And each time you do this, you learn how to get in there deeper and quicker. And then finally you get so you recognize when you've made a hit. Something happens that you can know in yourself. You can't describe it well to anybody, but it's happened. Something turns over, and you know the work is done. A little who has a problem will work on it until the problem is no longer there. That means it isn't all just 1 3-minute healing like Joel says. It may be for Joel, but for the people who are learning healing, you may have to come back 2 times, 3 times, twice in 1 day. Finally, you get to the place where you don't need anyone to tell you what you've done. You can know the person is healed or is not. And it's all how you feel inside yourself. The freedom has come. And by the time you're finished, you're really wound up and you're in a position to go deeper. So then we would usually just not sign off and go back to what we were doing, but we would think of someone else who has a problem, or maybe some problem that we ourselves might have. Stay in it and deepen and deepen and deepen. Even when you come out later, you're a different person. This is how you build a healing technique. And it's surprising how it works. It penetrates to the place where the person who is healed knows that has happened. Where did it go? I don't know. I have no pain. There's no time limit. You stay as long as you can, as long as you want to. The idea is to get the person healed. But there's got to be a substance in your meditation. And you feel that. When Jesus healed the woman in the coma, she was a high soul. And after he healed her, we only know that she went back to living. We don't know what she did after that. But there was nothing that could help her in all of the kingdom, and the meditation did. Because in the meditation, something in the meditator reaches something in the girl. Not a thought, not an idea. It's a spiritual substance. And they come together and exchange, become one. She's better. And what he is doing really is feeding her spirit. He's feeding her spirit. And when her soul reaches out for the spirit he feeds her, she receives it with her soul. And the spiritual awareness in her soul removes the error or the pain or the problem. You see how it becomes easier to stay there now. This becomes a part of your arsenal. A wise person, when they develop this capacity, will go into it more than once during the day, whether he has someone to work for or not. And he'll rest there until he becomes, the word I use is pregnant. Because you feel something happening. You feel some pregnancy. Something is sparked alive that wasn't. And in this inner spiritual pregnancy, you are a suitable instrument for the Spirit and anyone who calls you. Sometimes they heal instantly. It's possible to start out knowing nothing, just being excited and being flustered, and in 5 years or 5 months you've got a technique of how to do it. People call you and it's quite easy. I'll take care of it. That's all you say, I'll take care of it. And then you get into meditation, that's all you do. Get into the silence. If you've been there during the day, at times it helps. You get into the silence, rest in the Word. And the Word is sweet and gentle. People can come out of the strangest things. will meditate without anybody needing any help, just to keep in trim, keep it going, 2 or 3 times a day. And what you're also doing this way is keeping yourself free so that you are not affected. I've known practitioners who get sick, but as a rule, the practitioner is able to take care of his own sickness and doesn't have to go anywhere. Another thing I think it does is to prolong your life activity. The practitioners I know are a little older, and they're aging nicely. There's something about it that soothes you down. Now, you don't try to use this for any self-gain. You don't try to meditate up a good stock. Some people do, you know. You don't use it for betting. Which one should I bet on? This is used for healing those who need healing. But you can also meditate for yourself on things. And it's not a specific, but it's a establishing a level so that you're in the flow, and this flow is what you give and receive from everyone, and it's amazing how it sorts things out for you. While you're in the flow, life seems to be more purposeful, more resultful. So I recommend it for those who have a restlessness, those who can't quite center on anything to do. It'll generally stabilize your being. Give you a general tone. It's very helpful on an infant who doesn't even know that you're in that state. Many people use the ability to be quiet to heal the weather. I know some startling cases where the weather was healed this way. One is in the Bible. You might experiment with your ability to put this into practice, to change the complexion of things that you face day in and day out. you might find that it is a very, very important pacifier. It gets you nice and quiet, gets you to a point where things don't irritate you as much. You're better humored. And it does big things. I'm talking about all the things you can do for yourself with this capacity. It really does big things. You see, you're in the spirit, and the spirit is flowing out. You're not in the mind. The mind isn't going back and forth. Believe it or not, I've seen a whole group of cows put to sleep this way. I think we've had enough meditation, but I'd like to recommend that you bring it into daily practice in your life as a soul soother. It really is good for you to be in peace, and meditation is one way to get there. And then when you may find that you don't know why you're feeling as well as you do, you trace it perhaps to the meditations you've been having. And when you find that I don't seem to have these flare-ups that I have, you trace it again to that. You find that the ability to establish a tone for your being and to maintain it just by an occasional remembrance that all I have to do is take 2 minutes to maintain. You find it harder to get angry. Stabilizes your temperament. These are some of the lesser things that it does. Surprise you that you can apply it to quite big things. If you know there's a war going on and you have an interest in it, you can meditate it away. I've seen storms meditated away. I've seen waves meditated away. If a man meditates correctly, the waves respond.